We'll call the, this meeting of Government Operations and Audit together. Welcome those in the audience. Welcome to those listening on the internet. With that said, we will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Gillespie?
Here.
Lang?
Here.
Peters?
Here.
Buckingham?
Here.
Clout?
Here.
All members present.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. With that, we have three bills before us. We'll just start out with the first House Bill 1004. $1,004 is a bill that came out of the last year's government operation audit. I'm not going to waste a lot of time commenting on it. Maybe Representative Gillespie would like to make a few comments. I'll just briefly say that what this does, it just provides or requires the Bureau of Finance and Management to provide condition statements to it. And I believe there is an amendment before we get too far on 1004s or not. The amendment. So instead of, we lost the page. Stand out. What this amendment's going to do is, on line one, it's going to change it that the Bureau of Finance and Management will provide condition statements on funds that receive federal funding. I guess, Representative Gillespie, if you'd like to make any comments on it, being you were one of them here, or Representative Lang, that one that were here last year, do you want to make any comments before we get started on testimony? I thought I'd ask Auditor General Gindin to come up and give us a little history of how we got, or what their take on this bill is. And
well, Mr. Chairman, I would urge the committee to, I guess, do you want to ask, go for discussion first, and then we'll go to...
You can do the amendment and the bill if you'd like.
Okay. Well, you know, last year we had several discussions about the indirect costs and trying to keep track of them, and I think the bill is an important bill. I'm looking at the amendment. This is the first I've seen of the amendment, but I think it's a reasonable amendment considering that perhaps there should be a request instead of the mandatory shall language that we have in there now. So I would consider the amendment favorable.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Marty, do you have anything you want to add, a little history to this or anything? Really not? Okay, are there any or proponents to House Bill 1004? Any proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1004? Any opponents? We must have had a very well-drafted bill. Any opponents? Seeing none. Okay. All right. Okay. We're gonna. Staff reminded me we cut things a little short here. Representative Gillespie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move the amendment.
All those in favor of the amendment that isn't marked dealing with House Bill 1004, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Now is there any comments on 1004 as amended? Commissioner Dilges.
Afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jason Dilges, Bureau of Finance and Management. Just to clarify where we're at right now, we'd worked with Chairman Clout since last summer, fall, on this issue, trying to come to agreeable solutions for both parties. And the amendment that you have on 1004 right now, in our mind, is blends together both 1004 and 1006. And so that was this the amendment as you have in front of you would essentially take the place of those two bills that were introduced. And so I guess that was our compromise to those two bills specifically. And so as a result of this amendment on that bill, we would hope that if you supported 1004 and disposed of 1006, that would be our intent in good faith to try and work with the committee on this issue.
Thank you. Any further comments? If not, we will close the hearing on 1004 to committee discussion and or action. Representative Buckingham.
Mr. Chairman, move do pass.
Second. Second by Peters. Secretary, call the roll.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Lang?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Buckingham?
Aye.
Clout?
Aye.
Five ayes.
That bill passes? Do pass. Yeah, the do pass as amended, Representative Buckingham.
Yes.
That bill do pass. We will... We'll work out who's going to carry that in a little bit here. House Bill 1005, I believe we have an amendment for 1005. At this time, I think we'll have the Auditor General, if he would come forward and just give us a little bit of brief history about how indirect cost funds become a reality, what causes them, and all this and all that.
Well, indirect, Mr. Chairman, Marty Ginden, Auditor General with the Department of Legislative Audit. The way this issue first came up is the Government Operations and Audit Committee, during the last interim, asked us to look at various federal and other funds that had balances and come back to them, reporting to them those that had balances and why they had balances and things like that. Some of the funds that were identified that had balances were the indirect cost funds. What indirect cost funds are is it's just a recognition by the federal government that in order to operate federal programs, the state is going to incur certain costs to do those that you wouldn't incur if you weren't operating federal programs. So they recognize that, and through various methods, they reimburse the state for those costs that they've incurred that they wouldn't have normally had if they weren't operating federal funds. And so in some of the state departments, that's done by they charge the cost directly to the programs as they're incurred with social services with a special indirect cost allocation plan. There are other agencies that have sort of a rate of reimbursement, a certain percentage of direct costs that they are reimbursed to reimburse the agency for those costs. And those are the ones that we're talking about here. We looked at three agencies that had some balances that were there that were unobligated cash we felt existing in those funds, and so we identified those balances, asked the agencies for their responses, and they came and told us what balances they felt were there, what they intended to do with them. And as a result of that testimony, then the committee asked that these bills be drafted. And that was the purpose, is to get reporting on those balances to the legislature, or with 1005, it would have actually eliminated them. So they are sort of mutually exclusive bills. If you do four, you don't do five, and so forth. Either report them, eliminate them, and that was your call as policymakers to decide which way to handle that.
So. Any questions, Auditor General Ginden, on? None. Thank you. The chair at this time would like to have the amendment moved. Moved by Peters, second by Buckingham. All those in favor of the amendment, signify by saying aye.
Are we going to have any discussion on the amendment?
Yes. We'll just move the amendment now.
Okay.
No, they won't discuss the bill. We can discuss the bill and the amendment. Unless you want to say something before.
Well, before we amend the bill, I'd just soon hear the discussion about why we want to limit it to $250,000.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is the Department of Legislative Audit, Mr. Kenyon, what's your position on the amendment to limit the amount to $250,000 as far as the amount, the baseline dollar amount as proposed in this amendment?
I just believe that'd be a policy call on your part as to what if any balance you wanted to set for that. So.
Any more questions on the amendment? If not, all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll open the discussion to House Bill 1005 as amended. Is there any opponents?
Chairman, again, Jason Dilges, Bureau of Finance and Management, not as an opponent, but in the spirit of cooperation and trying to work together, again, came up with sort of a middle ground in terms of being able to allow agencies the flexibility to administer their indirect cost funds, as well as some peace of mind for the legislature to acknowledge that huge cash balances will not be generated as a result of these. Our concern was that we needed to be able to have that flexibility for times when the legislature is not in town and be able to use those funds accordingly if we have under recoveries in certain areas. And so I think that the amendment that you see in front of you was crafted as a compromise between both parties involved. So as amended, I would hope that in the spirit of compromise that we could go down the road this way. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Any more proponents? Any proponents? Are there any opponents to 1005? Any opponents? Any opponents to 1005? Seeing none, we will close that part of input and we will bring it to the committee discussion and or action.
I move do pass as amended.
Do pass on 1005 as amended. Is there a second?
Second.
We need roll call vote. With that, we'll have the secretary call the roll.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Lang?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Buckingham?
Aye.
Clout?
Aye.
Five ayes.
That has passed. Representative Peters, I will have you carry 1005. Representative Gillespie, would you like to carry 1004? That leaves us with 1006. A 1006 is one of those bills that we probably don't need if we're going to do the other two, so it'd be up to the Representative Buckingham.
Mr. Chair, move table.
I have a tabling motion on 1006. Is there a second?
Second.
That is final action on this bill, so we'll need a roll call vote.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Lang?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Buckingham?
Aye.
Clout?
Aye.
Five ayes.
That bill has been tabled. Nobody needs to carry that bill. I believe that's all the bills we have before us today, unless somebody slipped another one in. Jason, did you? Before we adjourn, we need to have the minutes of the, well, no, that was a joint meeting we had. That was a joint meeting there. For the committee's information, we got a list last year to bring people up to speed. We requested from the Board of Regents that they provide us with an update of leases, a quarterly update of leases. That's what this paper is. It's a good thing to keep track of, keeping your books, because we track that throughout throughout time, so it'd be a good idea to keep track of that, and we'll be getting into them leases more later on. But make sure you don't mix this here paper up with your other legislative stuff, because we will be coming referring back to that later on. Anything else, Annie? Anything else come before the committee? If not, the chair would entertain Representative Lang's motion to adjourn, seconded by Peters. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Pose same sign. We're adjourned. Thank you.